This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's your sports bros, Rob and Sue. Hope you're having a nice little Monday.
Sada.
It is a great Monday. Man, football in full swing, college, NFL. It's just one of the best times of year, and the weather's starting to turn. You get
football's
that
football.
Crisp weather. Oh, sign me up. And I'd also like to point out,
football
because Mike
football.
Lynch was talking about this during the break, Miguel Suze, Susie Colbert, 57 years old, still bringing the heat on Monday night.
Yeah, she's really good at what she does.
Yes, fantastic. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, are you talking about how she
looks? No,
you sexist pig.
I'm talking about the great job she does and the fact
that she's 57 going on 35.
Still putting asses in the seats.
Yeah, she does look great.
I love and have for years.
She's getting
what Suze is bringing to the table.
Better.
Yes.
She looks younger.
Yeah.
She's got that Jennifer Aniston thing. Jennifer Aniston looks better at like 50 than she did when she was 25. It's a Benjamin Button.
I was surprised to hear you say that she's 57.
We were talking about that in the break, and I had to look it up, and I saw I would have thought maybe 45. No, 57.
Now, here's the worst part. So she's on the Monday Night Football pregame show.
Yes.
With Randy Moss and all those goobers.
Mm-hmm.
The worst part is they've now gone to the broadcast booth, and I forgot that Steve Levy calls Monday Night Football.
It sounds a little weird, doesn't
it? Do you think Steve knows he's bad?
Look, I don't think he's bad. I just think he...
I do.
I think he over-broadcasts. And like he
doesn't sound to me like a play-by-play guy. You know,
he's a sports center anchor doing play-by-play.
Yes. He's very robotic.
It sounds like when they do like those, like for the national title game, when they do like the different casts, you know, it's what it sounds like. You just have like some, it's like, hey, we found a guy that knows sports and we're going to throw him in there and he's going to do play-by-play. It doesn't sound like a pro.
So I've turned it over to ESPN2 now.
Yeah.
Where we have debut of Monday Night Football with Peyton and Eli Manning.
I forgot about that.
So I'm going to give that a run.
Even though we can't listen to it?
Well, I'll check it out during the break.
Okay.
And if anybody is listening to that at home, let us know how that's going, because I am all for that over Steve Levy and Brian Greasy.
Yeah, do we know? Are they even going to be at the game, or are they just like in Goodell's basement?
They haven't showed him yet, so we'll see.
Hmm.
All right, guys. We got a big hour of radio here.
We've already had two big hours.
Yeah.
It's been very sportsy today.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Oregon won.
A lot of sports.
They won that game.
Yes.
At Ohio State.
Yes, they did.
We should probably talk about it.
Convincingly, I might add.
So we'll go around college football, eulogize week one of the NFL, and some other stuff. Oh, we got the club tonight. We are now going to have to build bathrooms for cows.
Okay.
And I have today in trend news.
Interesting.
All the hot trends.
I have something that I need to discuss too, because I was at a concert this weekend and something stole the show. And
not the whoever was the concert?
No.
John Legend or
yeah,
whatever?
Yeah, it was John Legend, but he was an afterthought. Someone stole the show, and I had so much questions because I've seen these on TV. I don't know if I've ever really noticed one in person before. Couldn't look away. Spent the entire time staring at something other than what was happening on the main stage. And I have questions, And I don't know if anyone else has had this happen to them, but I was very distracted.
Right now, the hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air.
Football, football.
It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Football's football.
Football is football.
Football is football.
Football's football.
Football's football. Sports is sports.
Number five.
Mariners wild card watch. They are three back, beginning a critical series with Boston tonight. So, right meow. Although the Yankees won today. They already came back and beat the Twins.
Yeah.
So, right now, you have the Jays and the Red Sox tied for the wild card spots. The Yankees are half game back, and the Mariners and A's are three back. So, big series.
Yeah. Doesn't it feel a little... I mean, we've talked about this as far as the odds go. Doesn't it kind of feel like the Mariners, as fun as this is... Yeah, I think we know how this is ending. I mean, they give them a 3-4% chance to make the postseason?
Well, Toronto's red hot.
Yeah.
And they're playing Tampa right now. It's scoreless. But I don't know. You never know. I mean, they're right there. It's like, Logan Gilbert against Eduardo Rodriguez
what
tonight.
What happened to your Yankees, Mike?
I don't know. It's just been like this all year. It's been really great winning streaks and runs and then awful, awful losing streaks. So who knows? They don't really deserve to make the playoffs right now. I'll just kind of hope that they figure it out here in the last couple of weeks. They do have the Orioles starting tomorrow.
That is.
Although they lost 2-3 to Baltimore last week. So.
Monday Night Football will pit Baltimore and Vegas. This is the debut of the Vegas Stadium with fans.
Yeah, it looks amazing. And we got Gladys Knight out there singing the anthem.
She's great.
Looks great, too. Have you seen...
Well, we had Vegas Stadium last year. Just
yeah,
there,
no fans.
There were no fans.
Did you see...
It looks great with the fans.
Did you see the... I took a tour of it when we were down there. It's pretty awesome. Like, there was... I mean, there was just... You walked around it, and there was no fans and everything. But
by the
way,
SoFi Stadium yesterday looked amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's what you get when you spend $5 billion. But have you seen the end zone box seats that the Raiders have?
No.
It's crazy. It's a Vegas club, so they got a DJ on the one end of the end zone, and then they've got, like, the circular booths with a table in it.
Woo-woo.
And you got, like, bottle service and the hots and bikinis, like, bringing food and stuff. And
hell yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
I'd be disappointed if they didn't have
that.
Yeah,
it's like you bought a table at a Vegas club, except you're in the end zone for the Raiders, and I do believe that the hots come with it.
Raiders running back Josh Jacobs was questionable due to an illness, but they say he's going to play. Raiders are 4-point doggies. By the way, fun fact, combined, the AFC and NFC West went 7-0 yesterday. So, win by Vegas tonight makes it 8-0. Clean sweep for the Westies.
How about that?
How about that, Jason?
I did not...
How about that?
I had not paid attention to that.
Washington football team loses starting quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick. He goes on the IR with a hip subluxation thing.
He separated his hip.
Yeah.
So.
What's a subluxation?
It's like when you separate your shoulder.
Subluxation.
It's just of your... It's up your hip, so
he's out 6 to 8 weeks,
possibly the season too. I mean, this one could be a biggie. So that stinks because I like Washington. I like their defense. Great game, by the way, against the Chargers. Herbert looked amazing, but
they are saying they are not interested in Cam Newton.
No, the Heineken man apparently is the guy going forward for
Taylor
them.
Heineke.
Yep,
they play Thursday against the Giants. Injury news: the Niners get hit again. Running back Raheem Mostert is out at least 8 weeks with a knee injury, and cornerback Jason Verrett, torn ACL. He is done for the year.
Verrett's like the Cam McCormick of the NFL. He's really good. He can never stay healthy, and we've talked about this with the Niners. A lot of what they're counting on are guys that have a history of injury, and here we are week one, and you know, you're already down two guys.
Oregon is into the top five, along with Iowa.
Yeah, can I? I mean, it's kind of nitpicky here. I do not understand sometimes the rankings based on your actual merits. But look, I know it's early on; it doesn't really matter. But what has Oklahoma done that Oregon and Iowa haven't?
Oklahoma is number three.
Yeah, and that should be Oregon or Iowa at number three. But just saying.
Bama 1, Georgia 2, Oklahoma 3, Oregon 4. And then Iowa is 5 in the AP, and then the coaches, it's Texas A&M.
By the way, I want to talk about an underwhelming win.
Well, they lost their quarterback.
Looking right at you, A&M.
Yeah, their quarterback went down super early.
Still, Colorado? Come on.
So here's your quarterback news. Haynes King is his name, the Texas A&M quarterback. They're saying he's out at least until mid-October. with a fractured ankle. So that's a big blow to a top five team there. And then you have Texas benching their freshman Hudson Card for junior Casey Thompson.
Yeah, that whole Texas is back thing, not so much.
And Kansas State quarterback Skylar Thompson is out indefinitely. He suffered a knee injury over the weekend. And number one, it didn't take long. Two games in, USC has fired head coach Clay Helton. Their AD said they still have a chance to do something special this season, so they wanted to get on it. They are promoting interim coach Dante Williams. He is the cornerback's coach and previously coached at Oregon. He is considered one of the nation's top recruiters. We'll see what happens. Yeah.
By the way, after seeing USC in weeks one and two, no, they're not going to have a special season. And what happens here going forth is irrelevant. This is the biggest hire in since Pete Carroll for USC. You've got to find a way to stop the bleeding here and right this ship and take your time, roll out the big bucks, go find the right guy, and who gives a damn what you do this year? This is a lost season. If you're USC, who cares if you go 0 for the rest of the way if you make the right hire?
Coors Light brings you the Hot 5 at 5. Live sports are back. Always better with an ice cold Coors Light. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. So Oregon stole the college football headlines over the weekend. Let's talk about it, shall we?
Let's.
Do you want to talk about it?
We already did, and let's talk about it again.
We're going to do it again. It's just that important.
Yeah, kind of a big deal.
It's 5:13 on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, so I've already strolled the Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, and hey, look at Mariota. Their Monday Night Football bit that they're doing,
and it's better than what Steve Levy and company are doing.
I tend to agree already, and I only caught, you know, like 2 minutes of it, but Manning. So they're not there.
Yeah.
But
so they're not even together.
No, they're in separate rooms. And Peyton put on a headset and started calling plays in real time, which I think is kind of interesting because you never really get to, obviously you don't get to hear the, you know, Mike talking. Of course, he's not calling the real plays, but he's calling plays. And then Eli is pretending like he's the quarterback. And here's what he's saying to the team as he relays the play that Peyton called in. So it's kind of. And then Peyton's at, now he's at a dry erase board.
Yeah, kind of drawing stuff
X's
up.
X's and O's. Yeah. But I've always loved, I think Peyton Manning is fantastic. I've always loved him.
Well, and Eli
I think
is,
he's hilarious.
Eli is too. He's clearly the lesser of the Mannings, but he's an interesting guy.
They're
and
great.
I'm intrigued by this. I wish I would have recorded this because I kind of want, I mean, we can't really watch it while we're in here doing the show, but I kind of want to see like an entire game or at least a half of what this looks like.
Yes, we have extreme focus here.
Yes,
for the show. But
also, ESPN Mariota is like a full play and a half ahead of ABC, which is interesting.
Oh,
you said look at that Mariota run. I was on the other channel and I was like Mariota, and then he came running onto the field. I was like, whoa!
Got called back due to a penalty though.
Yeah, and by the way, he's not. He's just it was a wildcat package sort of thing. Carr is playing. He's not hurt or anything.
Question today, poll question today brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling. It's at 1080thefan.com. What is the most significant win in Oregon football history? Right now, most people are saying it's the Florida State College Football Playoff semifinal win over Jameis Winston and company.
That's where my vote went. But
Ohio State's coming in number two.
Well, and there's obviously some recency bias there, but what I will... I'm going to put a little caveat because I think a lot of people were saying this and I would agree with it. Biggest regular season win? Sure. I'll give you Ohio State. And you said it. Best win overall. I think the Florida State defending national champs in the Rose Bowl absolutely pasted them. And it brought you to another national title game. I still think that one, because of what was on the line, I'm going to give the nod to that. And it's not like Florida State wasn't one of those programs like Ohio State. It was a more definitive win and it was in the playoff. But to go on the road, and you said this, I'll give you credit for this. You talked about like the different games kind of signifying levels of the program, right? Whether it's the pick, the Michigan game, and then, or Oklahoma, and then this one. I think you're right when you said that this just kind of validates and signifies the jumping off of a new level, and probably the highest level that isn't a national title, to go on the road to the Horseshoe, a team like Ohio State, one of the three or four very best, most respected programs, and to physically beat them, not in a fluky way or on a bad penalty or something, to physically beat them at the point of attack and be the better team. I do think that is massively significant for a program and signals maybe a changing of the guard or just a new era.
Yeah, I just feel like they were as good as Oregon's been all these years. They were never able to win it like that.
Yeah,
over a team like that, yeah, in a place like that. Like, I mean, that was, I cannot think of a more, if I were an Oregon fan, of a more satisfying win. I don't know if it's the biggest. I don't know if it's the best. It's certainly significant. I think they made a statement for sure.
Especially no one saw it coming.
But it was so satisfying because Flo was out. Thibodeau was out.
Yep.
And I guess, as Cristobal said at the end of the game, there were actually five guys out because Mathis was out.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they won in the trenches. They played a clean, smart football game. Play calling was crisp as hell. The quarterback was excellent. I mean, how is that not like the most satisfying win ever? Because you can't take a damn thing away from it.
Nope.
There weren't big turnovers. It was just all about them punching Ohio State in the mouth for the whole damn game, and they got Ohio State's best towards the end.
Ohio State countered, and it wasn't enough.
I mean, we're sitting there watching that game, and I told my wife, who was actually mildly into it, I was like, oh, we've seen this game before, and I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. Ohio State is unfortunately going to tie this up, and it's going to go into overtime, and they're going to win.
Yeah.
Because we have seen this a million times. And yet, Oregon just bowed up. And they were the better team. It's not even debatable.
No, they closed out the game when they needed to on offense. They came up with big stops. I thought that fourth and two with Sewell scraping over the top, sticking the Ohio State run game. Ohio State did. Now, look, Ohio State is a really good team, obviously, and they put up plenty of yards. And they put up 28 points. But Oregon's defense, I thought, played great. They didn't allow big plays. They kept everything in front. Not only were they better in the trenches, I thought the Oregon secondary against the best receiving corps in the country held up pretty well, minus the not being ready and giving up the touchdown over the top. They kept stuff in front. They made good open field tackles, and that is not easy to do against that receiving corps. And yeah, they got some help. I thought Stroud, I thought he wasn't very good. I think in both games, it felt like the moment was a little too big for him.
He's going to be good, but he's a freshman.
He's a freshman. And then on the other side of things, you've got Anthony Brown, who all of us, myself included, thought, he's a placeholder. Anthony Brown has been everything you could want in these first two games. He's been steady. He hasn't made dumb decisions. He's made big plays. You know, whether it's coming up with crucial throws, even though they're not throwing the ball a ton downfield, he's been great on the option. He's been dangerous with his legs. And I think you saw the difference right there between having a true freshman and a guy that's started now for 4 years in college football.
Yeah, that was a big part of it, too. I just feel like that. I mean, you could be the biggest Duck hater on the planet, and we know you're out there.
Sure.
You cannot take a damn thing away from them.
Where are you going to poke holes?
Where are you going to poke holes in that win? That was amazing. And I thought Cristobal said it best at the end. Whom, by the way, I love Cristobal. I think he's fantastic.
Did you see him after the game doing the...
Yes.
Like in the locker room,
great,
doing some sort of like fist pound celebration grave digger thing?
What a save their ass hire that was.
Yep.
Because it was going south.
Yeah, they had made the Jimmy Lake hire.
And I think Cristobal's fantastic. And of all the criticism of, not a great in-game coach in this, yeah. I thought some of that was overblown. And I think that this weekend, not that it's the end all to be all, but he proved that, he's a hell of a coach,
too. And he made really good. Well,
it's not just recruiting.
No, he sets the culture, and he's made great hires.
He's definitely a figurehead type of coach, but at the same time, I don't know. I just think that whole thing of they're bad in-game coaches, and I say they, he's made great coordinator hires. It really falls on him.
I think these new coordinators have saved some of that.
They help him. He's smart enough to have seen
to hire
that
him.
And to hire them. But I still think he's not as bad as people make that. I think he's the whole package, man. He's really good.
When you're a head coach that is a CEO type, and a ton of them are, your job is to hire good coordinators, work with them, and then, and not necessarily get out of the way, but allow them to be at their best. And he has made really good hires. And I think that's an underappreciated skill as a CEO type head coach, is making good hires. And he has done it time and time again.
See Jimmy Lake.
Yes. Who's made horrific hires.
So he said it at the end of the game, Cristobal. He said, we've been building toward this. This was not just a one-off. It's taken a long time to get to that point. And that's right. And we all saw that because we know how well they've been recruiting, right? Yeah. But I just think, at least for, I know for you and I talking here on the show, we didn't expect it this soon.
No, this sped up a lot.
When you recruit the way they're recruiting, you do expect them to look like that. That's why I was saying, we were talking about this last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, is that, the pressure's starting to mount against Cristobal here, because when you start to consistently recruit this way, people are going to expect better performances. Yeah. And you can't lose these hiccup games, right? Not that Ohio State was a hiccup game. That was an elite opponent. I'm just saying that as the recruiting continues to rise, so do the expectations, even if they're already out of whack. And I don't think a lot of people thought Oregon was going to win that game at Ohio State. We thought it was too early for them to peak like this, or to put together a performance like that. But that's what makes it so satisfying, is that it came sooner than we all expected. And now you look at it and go, well, my God, they were without Mathis.
Thibodeau, Flo. Brown went out at some point.
They were without all those guys. And they did what they did against Ohio State. And now they only have one ranked team left on their schedule.
Yeah.
In the Pac-12.
And the beauty part about it is,
so the sky's the limit. This wasn't even supposed to be that special year, right? Yeah. We were saying, the talent's there, but it's all really young.
Yeah.
Dude, who cares?
It sets up really well, because you've given yourself a mulligan too. If you're Oregon, the idea was that if you lose to Ohio State, you can't stub your toe anywhere. Right. Then you got two losses. Even if you win the Pac-12, you're not where you want to be. You just beat Ohio State. Let's say you go on the road and you lose to UCLA down the line somewhere, or, Arizona State or whoever. Right. You end up losing that game. You're still a one loss conference champ if you can finish it off. And you've got arguably one of the two or three best wins of the year against Ohio State on the road, assuming that Ohio State, doesn't end up, completely essing the bed. And I don't think they will. I hate that argument of all of a sudden, oh, Ohio State's having a down year, whatever. No one was saying that before this game. You can still probably lose a game. And as long as you take care of business in the Pac-12, you're still, everything you want for that special season is ahead of you. So not only does it set up real well, you've now given yourself a mulligan. It's just such a game changer. And there's a long way to go. And you can't keep getting hurt, or, this is one of those things that can derail anyone. You've got to start getting some healthy bodies back, and it's a war of attrition. You can't keep losing people. But boy, it feels like the entire tone of the season took a hard left there in Columbus. I think
the tone of just the program.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying I think it was such a statement win, is that, boy, that the way they won that game, how do you not expect them? See, the expectations are going to go up. How do you not expect them to do that to everybody?
Yeah.
Not to say that you're not going to make mistakes or trip up. I'm just saying, if you're capable of that, where's a loss? And you don't play perfect every week.
No, but
this is why the Alabamas and Ohio States of the world always win.
Yeah.
Because they just have better players. They can make mistakes and rely on their five-star guys to just make big plays when they're having a bad weekend or whatever, right?
And they did.
And Oregon is kind of at that level, at least in the Pac-12, where they're going to be favored over every single team left.
Yep.
because of that. So the expectation should be that they should win every game the rest of the way.
I tend to agree with you. Now, we haven't seen anyone, I don't think, run the table in the Pac-12, if I'm not mistaken, in quite some time.
Well, I think they'll lose.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying expectations-wise, like, why would a fan not go, well, wait a minute?
You should. You'll be favored significantly in every game. I mean, you look at like their next, it's the next four or five leading up to UCLA.
Stony Brook, Arizona at home.
Yeah.
At Stanford.
Yeah, whatever. Stanford's not any good. Throw the USC crap out.
Then they host Cal, and then they're at UCLA.
And Cal lost again. Look, you're gonna boat race some teams. That UCLA game, what's UCLA got? Are we going to get...
What do you mean? Schedule-wise?
Yeah, schedule-wise until they get to Oregon.
Oh. Let's take a look here for you, Phil.
Because Oregon's what? Oregon is 4 or 5 right now.
In the country?
They're 4.
They're 4. Look,
ooh.
Oregon's not going to lose again, I wouldn't assume, until the UCLA game is their test. You could be talking about a top three team in the country, 2 even, depending on what happens in front of you. And UCLA, what do they got?
They are 2-0.
Yeah.
They are 16th. Mm-hmm. They will play Fresno State, ironically enough, this weekend.
Yeah, give you an interesting look of what we think, because we've got some comps.
That's in LA. Then they're at Stanford.
Okay.
They host Arizona State.
That's going to be tough.
And then they have road games at Arizona and at Washington, all before they play Oregon.
I just as a fan of football and a fan of the Pac-12, please, God, give me undefeated Oregon, number 3 in the country, going down to UCLA. And if UCLA is perfect at that point, UCLA will be 8 or 9. Yes, yes, yes. Because when's the last time we had a Pac-12 game that was like 2 top 10 teams, marquee matchup, middle of the year, championship implications? Chip.
Yeah,
versus
the Chip
Cristobal.
Kelly thing.
Can you guys shut up?
Boy, I know there's a long way to go, but just my sports pants, my Pac-12 pants are tight thinking about what that'll be.
Now we're going to get ahead of ourselves.
I know. And now both teams are going to lose before we get there.
Exactly. But you watch college football?
I know. But
these teams are going to lose.
UCLA has some tripping points. Oregon should not. Oregon
that's
should
what
not
I'm
lose before they get to UCLA.
That's what I'm saying. I think the fun part will be if they do, how do we view it?
Yeah.
You know, because you're right. They shouldn't.
No.
At the same time, they probably will. Why? Because it's college football.
And it's the Pac-12.
And half of them are hurt. By the way, so yeah, Oregon would be 6-0 going into that game, and then UCLA would be 7-0. And you're right. That would definitely be a top 10.
Yeah.
Maybe even a top 5 matchup.
Yeah.
You never know. Because UCLA's got some tough games in there.
My biggest thing was I could not believe how well they played on both lines of scrimmage, considering the struggles that they had on that against Fresno. And I know Fresno's got a good front, but come on, that's supposed to be one of the better fronts on both sides for Ohio State. And Oregon just looked beyond average, and stop with the game plan stuff. That's how, and I know that they broke out some new wrinkles and it was more aggressive. That blocking scheme was not the reason why you couldn't block anyone against Fresno State and why you looked like world beaters. That offensive line, starting with our guy Foresight, and all the way down, there was one where the left guard literally walked into the end zone. He had no one to block on that little short side power that they ran. They were just, as a former O-lineman, that was just brilliance on the part of that Oregon offensive line.
Okay, got to run. Let's look elsewhere in the Pac-12 and college football. On what happened over the weekend. We'll look at that next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Oh, now they got Charles Barkley on there with the Mannings on Monday Night Football.
What is happening? Who's winning? What is occurring?
So if Oregon had lost, how would we view the Pac-12 weekend? Because it was not good, dude.
No, it was really buoyed up. We said this kind of in week one, that UCLA was the one team was like, hey, thanks for showing up and, salvaging the week. And Oregon did that. I mean, and then some. I mean,
well, USC got stunned.
Yep.
Utah got controlled. Colorado blew it. Cal lost again. And Washington got drubbed.
Pretty much. So, look, it's not a good it's not a good run here for the Pac-12. But you've got a one elite team right now that just made a statement now in the top 5. And you've got another that looks pretty good right now. Like we'll see what happens with UCLA, but if those two can keep it rolling here, and maybe Arizona State could be another one, look, you get two teams, as long as Oregon keeps winning and you get another foil to kind of jump up and be a top 10, 12 team, the Pac-12 will be fine, because we know reputations, you know, it's largely based on what you do at the top. And right now you've got a heavyweight contender and maybe two others kind of sitting there lying in wait in ASU and UCLA.
Well, Utah could bounce back.
Yeah.
USC fired Helton. Wonder what that will do for them.
If you're Utah, that one stings. I mean, you've won 9 in a row in that series. And look, I love BYU, and that was an awesome game for a BYU guy to see that. But again, for Utah, for every year where it seems like you are supposed to be a contender and you find your quarterback and, you know, it's not necessarily a real big year in the Pac-12, you can't be losing games like that. I mean, that one stings if you're a Utah fan. For me, I think it's glorious, but you know, it's just that's kind of has been the Pac-12 over the years in a nutshell, is you one step forward, you know, one step back.
You think UW's cooked already?
I think so. It's bad. Their offense is atrocious.
So what do they need to do?
Fire Donovan tomorrow.
The offensive guy?
Yeah, talking to some guys, it sounds like Jimmy Lake has nothing to do with their offense. Like, nothing.
Okay.
He just completely turned it over, and it doesn't sound too like Donovan was his first or second choice. Shame on him, though, for settling for someone who at the time was a sketchy hire. And like, you can't go 10 quarters without scoring. So if you're Jimmy Lake and you're trying to at all save this, you fire your OC, you find someone to promote from within, maybe go find, remember, like you can find one of these consultants, like a Jeff Tedford, you know, has done that, where you bring someone in that's maybe got a different set of eyes, but you've got to find a way to fix your offense. And you need a new offensive line coach, too, because making that switch, your offensive line, who is one of the more talented in the league, is absolutely a mess. So you've got to scrap this and try to find a way to create a new offense as fast as humanly possible. And that's easier said than done.
Isn't Clay Helton an offensive guy?
Clay Helton is an offensive guy.
He's available.
Find something.
Washington's next three are Arkansas State and Cal at home. And then they're at Oregon State.
You got to go 3-0. Yeah. I mean, there's no excuse.
None of those should be considered winnable, or like easy wins, I should say, because they lost to Montana.
I know.
But like, you would think, Arkansas State, okay, sure. But really? Sure?
Yeah. But still.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do we even know what the hell Arkansas State has done? I haven't looked.
Oh, I can look that up for you.
Yeah, I don't know what they have. But, I mean, Cal's lost 2 in a row, hasn't looked good. Oregon State, by the way, I know it's going to be heavy Duck Central because, I mean, look, you just had one of the biggest wins in program history.
They're the Red Wolves.
Yeah. Good for the Beavs, by the way, who looked pretty good against a Hawaii team. I know people say it's a Hawaii, but you overwhelmed them. Good for Oregon State, and they found their quarterback.
So Arkansas State beat Central Arkansas.
Okay.
40-21.
So they're going to beat Washington then.
And then last week they played Memphis, and they lost 55-50.
Yeah, they're going to beat Washington. Give me the
No, they're not.
Give me the Red Wolves. If they can score more than 14 points, they're going to. Dude, did you watch any of the Montana and Michigan game?
I did not see Montana. I saw some of the Michigan.
That is some of the worst offensive football I have ever seen in the Pac-12. It is so putrid.
Do you know who the Arkansas State coach is?
Was that Bobby?
He's a big name.
Is Bobby Petrino still there?
No.
I don't know. Ooh, Chad Morris. I don't know who's there anymore.
Oh, that's a good guess. The great, rather fiery, but great, Butch Jones.
Oh.
Red-faced Butch Jones.
Yeah, give me Arkansas State.
Did you see what Chip Kelly said about, well, actually, let's break.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and wrap it up. Okay, so NFL Week 1 talk will be tomorrow on our show. This is usually our mojo during football, is we get caught up in college football on Mondays.
Well, especially after, you know, that.
NFL on Tuesdays. Now, Chip Kelly, so they play, UCLA plays Fresno State this weekend, as we mentioned. The kickoff time is 7:45 p.m.
Eee.
And Chip Kelly had a funny comment about that.
Okay.
We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Golf.
Ravens are up 7-0 on the Raiders. 4th-and-1. That Williams kid straight up the middle for 20-some yards for a tutty.
Tyson Williams?
Tyson Williams. he a rookie? Bill?
Don't know.
Anyone?
Also don't know if it's pronounced Tyson because it's T-Y apostrophe son. So it could be like Tyson.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, they got a bunch of guys that no one's ever heard of running the ball, but
there goes Latavius Murray's
there? Yeah, Latavius Murray. They've got they had the number one rushing attack in the NFL last year. So
did you know Tyson Williams, if that's how you pronounce it, went to BYU? Did you know that, fella?
Yeah, now that I think about it. But yeah,
he was a South Carolina transfer.
I did not put two and two together.
Actually, he signed with North Carolina, then he transferred to South Carolina, and then he went to BYU.
A well-traveled individual.
Yeah. He signed with Baltimore August of last year.
Well, now he's getting an opportunity.
Tell me more that you know about him.
Very little.
So here's what Chip Kelly said about the Fresno State start time, which is 7:45, which is pretty late.
Yes.
Pretty late.
pretty late.
He said, quote, "It's prime time in the Philippines, so let's put on a good show for the people in Manila." End quote.
I do kind of enjoy the fact that Chip has, been a little less, how would you say, just a little less red assy.
Yeah, he gets it now.
He does.
He's been there, done that.
Yes.
He's way more chill now. So anyway, we'll have time to talk about that game. By the way, you mentioned Chance Nolan, 302 yards and two tutties.
By the way, real quick, I looked up Tyson Williams, and in four games for BYU, he had like seven carries for 47 yards.
He didn't play much, huh?
No.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
Maybe he was doing it, and they punished him. Because you can't do it.
Chewing it and doing it.
Chance Nolan, definitely the quarterback. I just wonder why. I mean, it kind of looks obvious.
Yeah.
You know, that it's Chance Nolan's way better than Hoyer.
Yeah. Well, and they said,
why did the kid Hoyer get the start then against Purdue?
I mean, clearly throughout camp, that wasn't the answer. And this is kind of those things that happen sometimes is you can go through camp and there's a difference between guys that can look good in drills and guys that can look good when the bullets fly. My freshman year, we had a guy and we had a pretty good battle between two quarterbacks, and I think it was Paul Schumacher. And he got the start, and you know, it was one of those like, oh, who's going to go? And he won the job. And I think he got benched a quarter and a half against UW, and the other guy took over, and Paul never played again. It was like, well, all right, well, here you go. And the guy made the most of it, and then he was the guy. And I think that's what happened here. Now, when Jevia's hamstring is fully healthy.
Yeah, when's he coming back?
We don't know. Like, he was going in camp, and then, you know, all of a sudden they said the hamstring wasn't healthy, and then it was a day-to-day sort of thing. Well, he's clearly not ready to go. But when he is, do you have another quarterback battle, or is it just, hey, this is Nolan's job, and he runs with it? If he plays this way, then I don't think he'll open it up, and it's just it's Nolan's job to go. But, you know, if he struggles over the next couple of weeks, you're probably going to do this again with Jevia. But the offense looks completely different with him. And, look, you don't know, but I feel like if he would have started that game, I think maybe Oregon State, there's a good chance they're 2-0 right now.
Yeah.
That's a different offense with him on the field.
100%, yeah. And I called him Hoyer. It's Neuer.
Yeah.
Right? Neuer, yes. The Colorado kid?
Yes. Sam Neuer.
Okay.
Except he's not Colorado anymore. He's an Oregon kid.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
He was an Oregon kid. Then he was a Colorado kid. And now he's back to being an Oregon kid. Unfortunately, he's limited.
How do you feel about Florida State losing at home to Jacksonville State? Wasn't that great?
If the Montana is the worst loss, Montana is the worst modern day loss for UW. Hold my beer, because here comes Jacksonville State. And you lost it on a Hail Mary? Like, really? No one can tackle the kid? Well, I didn't think Florida State could get any lower. And here you go. I mean, my God. That's maybe anything. I don't know what you can take out of Florida State. I guess week one, you played hard against Notre Dame, and then you followed up with that.
Can I give you a fun fact?
Yeah, go.
Jacksonville State is FCS, obviously.
Yes.
Did you know they are not from Florida?
Whoa.
I did not. I
did not know that.
Isn't that mind-blowing?
Like Jacksonville, Georgia?
Jacksonville, Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Fun fact.
I didn't know there was more than one Jacksonville. Although I guess that would be fairly common with the last name of Jackson.
Sure.
Someone wants to name a town after themselves.
But why is it state, you know? Jacksonville State.
That's a whole thing where we get into that.
Maybe there's a University of Jacksonville, Alabama as well.
Well, like when there's like when it was Memphis State, or that's always confusing when it's clearly not a state because it's a city. But either way. Florida State, you get the crown for worst loss of the weekend.
I keep thinking Taggart's horrible. There, but it's that that other dude.
Yeah, Taggart's long gone.
Yeah, where's Taggart now? Is he having a revival?
He's at
Florida somewhere.
Yeah,
Florida International.
Isn't he at one of those? Like one of those weird.
Wasn't he at South Florida?
Yeah, he's the Florida Atlantic.
Oh,
he's following up Lane Kiffin.
Yes.
Go Owls.
It's very exciting.
Go Owls.
All right, well, Michigan.
What an exciting time.
Michigan, BYU, and Arkansas crack the top 25 after big weekends. USC, Utah, and Texas all drop out.
Yeah. That's
where we're at.
That whole Texas is back.
And Oregon's into the top five.
Isn't it quick, though, funny how quick these things can change in the world of college football, right?
We need to remember this.
Yeah, right. It's week to week. And
it so is.
Oregon, that was such a good win, and they looked so good. Look, they should roll off the next handful. Would anyone just be floored if, like, Arizona knocked them off? Remember, they were one play away from losing to Fresno State. It's such a weird thing, and you're dealing with kids, and it's week to week, and all of a sudden, everyone's going to be telling you how great you are, and rightfully so. You just had one of the best wins in program history. It's hard week to week, and I don't think we've seen a team in the Pac-12 run the table, right? The 9-game schedule.
Hey, I don't know about Arizona, but yes, somebody, not named Arizona.
Yeah. Arizona's bad. But so's Cal, and that's what I said. The rest of their games up to UCLA.
Yeah, but Arizona's a special kind of bad. Like, San Diego State's not supposedly terrible this year.
Yeah.
They kicked the crap out of them.
I know. Arizona's not very good. Although, look, they gave BYU some trouble. And
who?
Arizona. Like, it was a fairly competitive
game. In the first game?
Yeah, in the first game. It wasn't like a blowout or anything. Like, BYU kind of let them hang around. And then I kind of thought that didn't bode well for BYU. And then they go out and beat Utah. So, you know. Who the hell knows?
All right, let's move on. There's sports. Club, next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.